Normally, when we really, why are we here? Yeah? Aren't we here to practice? Yeah? We want to overcome dukkha, yeah? And then we constantly give into the kilesas and sleep, of course, it is wonderful. Yeah? But, if we can, if we can overcome the kilesas with sleep, it would be great, wouldn't it be? And the Lord Buddha would have taught us that. But he didn't teach us that. yesterday, Vachanka Sati Sankarao, the seven enlightenment factors. Yeah? One is virya, effort, determination, effort. Samadhi, upekkha, piti. Yeah? What is the seventh? Then Alex?
Asadi, tranquility. No, it's equanimity.
What? Equanimity. Did you save something from sleeping in these enlightenment factors? Or laziness, what is really predominant here in this monastery?
I haven't heard it. But maybe some people come and argue that he said it.
And now the training is not, it is not easy. And there are a lot of hindrances that we have to fight. But once we get going, it is easy. It becomes really easy, it's just like running a marathon, the first 2 kilometers are very difficult. But once one gets into the habit of running, we get going. Yeah? And it's just, just run. And in the beginning of practice, it's just to overcome these obnoxious hindrances. Yeah? Sloth and torpor, is called one of the hindrances. Yeah? Ditti, wrong view is also one of the big hindrances. Yeah? The first 3 fetters are big hindrances. Yeah? Believing that the body is us. Yeah? Not keeping the sila. Yeah? Is another fetter. And doubt is another factor. Doubt that there is heaven or there is hell. Doubt that there are beings in heaven or hell. And doubt that there is karma or there are results of karma. These are the factors, yeah? And, why are most people, still living in the world, yeah? And are born again, yeah? Because they can't overcome these 3 factors. They break the silas, yeah. Then they want to keep them, then they break them again, yeah. That is one of the fetters, yeah. How is that now interesting? How is Silabhata Paramasa, the second fetter, translated in Sri Lanka? As what? Chula. Isn't that common knowledge?
In Sri Lanka, we just use the same Pali sometimes. We don't even translate.
But how is it interpreted? When somebody explains it?
Attachment to rights and material.
And what is the translation of Lungda Mahabua? It's Sila. In Thai, it is seal. Bata, paramasa, fiddling with the sila, worrying about the silas, constantly taking them, not taking them, taking them, breaking them, taking them, breaking them.
Sometimes it's attachment to precepts and practices. So.
Yeah, and that is wrong. It's a wrong translation. And through these wrong translation or through these wrong interpretations, Lungda Mahabua said, that's the forest tradition. I know people disagree with this,
But that's how it is, yeah? And it makes sense, yeah? Breaking the precepts, taking them up, that it is a fetter. Yeah? I mean, rites and rituals, that's the English translation of it, yeah? Of course, I mean, when you look at the Theravada, there is no rites and rituals. I mean, in the pure Theravadan tradition, yeah? I mean, in the Smart tradition, when you look at the forest tradition, there are no rites and rituals, yeah? We do not bless cows and things like that, and so on, and so on, and so on. Yeah? So, I mean, how, yeah? You know, it's still the attachment to, it's the attachment, you know, all the worrying about breaking or keeping the sila. Yeah? It's very clear. And it's the same thing with the third fetter, you know. I mean, some people translate it, no attachment to the body. That's right. That's also wrong. Linda explained it, you know. I mean, in the Life of Inner Quality, in the 10th chapter, he explains it very well. I can't explain it before. So if somebody has some doubts, you know, he should refer to the 10 fetters, yeah, in the 10th chapter of Life of Inner Quality. And it doesn't make sense. Never made sense to me, right, you know, attachment to rites and ritual. Never made sense to me. Right? Same as, you know, I mean, about mindfulness. Right? I could be very mindful, but had no sati. Right? So, you know, I mean, there's one thing, you know, I mean, that's the interpretation of what we read, yeah? Or, yeah, I mean, some people know it very well, you know, the interpretation of what I say. Yeah? I actually was, I should have written it down, yeah? But there was one prof, I think it was in the 90s, yeah? It was at MIT or Harvard, yeah? I mean, he, after a lecture, you know, he asked his students if they understood what you said. And then they said, yes, yeah. And he said, you can't even understand, yeah. You think you understand what I said, but you know you don't understand what I really meant. Yeah? Because it's all, when it comes to words, it's all an interpretation of what we think about the words mean, yeah. And the meaning is specific to each person, yeah. I mean, how do we learn a language? Words are just symbols. I mean, sometimes I haven't talked for a long time about it. Yeah? Words are just symbols. They are a reference to any kind of experience that we have. Yeah? And we associate this word with this kind of experience. Another person can have, you know, can have a different kind of experience and associate the same word with it. And then we argue about this word. Yeah? The word has no meaning. It's just a reference. Yeah? It's just a pointer to some value, yeah? And that value can differ from person to person. And I know, yeah? I mean, I had a very good teacher. Yeah? My first teacher was a very good teacher. I mean, he was a German scholar, but he also used to be a monk under Mahasi Sayadaw, yeah? For 4 years, and then he was a monk in Thailand for 9 years. Yeah? And, I mean, he took up the Pali scholarship, yeah? I mean, he studied all the Pali scriptures. Yeah? And he was pretty good, you know? I mean, he translated some of it, yeah? And printed a book. And it's very interesting. I mean, I cannot confirm it, you know, but he said this, you know, when he refers to the scriptures, he only refers to the scriptures written in Thai. He said, you know, some of the Sinhalese, yeah, some of the Sri Lankan is not correct. It differs from the Thai version. Yeah? And he prefers the Thai version. Because the Thai version said what he said, you know, is more to the source. Because actually, you know, from Thailand in the 17th century, I mean, after Sri Lanka lost the Dhamma or lost all the books, you know, I mean, it came back from Thailand. And probably there were some mistakes. I don't know, I cannot confirm it. But what you said, you know, made some sense to me. Yeah? And how you interpreted some of these, yeah, some of these Pali. Yeah? But I argued with him. And he accused me constantly of being sloppy. Yeah? And I agreed to it. I'm sloppy. I'm not, you know, I don't push myself using a precise word because I know, I mean, it is not important, you know, to use the proper word. It is important that the meaning is coming across. Yeah? And that is, you know, that's why people can, you know, can confront me with lots of things, yeah? But for me it is really not important, you know, using the right word in the right context, yeah? For me it is important that the meaning comes across. And that is difficult for people who cling to words, who cling to proper words, to proper meaning. Yeah? You can get a lot of confusion. But if you listen to the Dhamma, if you would listen with your heart, you would understand what I mean. Yeah? If you listen to the words, you can have, you know, you can have a lot of doubts. Yeah? Because it's not this in the same way, yeah, as you think it is. That's just, you know, just a reminder. I mean, I used to talk about it, but I haven't talked about it for years now. But then this morning an argument came up and then it reminded me. I mean, words are pointers to the truth. That, and please, you know, the teaching of the Lord Buddha are just pointers to the truth. If you do that, if you do what he says, we will come and see the results that he describes. And then we will understand what he's talking about. Before that, we cannot understand what he's talking about. We can only know, he only gives us the path, and he always says it, yeah? I show you the path, yeah? I cannot go the path for you, yeah? That is the path, you know, and if you go it correctly, then this will happen, and this will happen, and that will happen. So that we have some signs along the path. And that's how I view it, you know, that's how I view the Dhamma teachings of the Lord Buddha. And, I mean, it worked out for me, yeah? So it might hopefully work out for you. Yeah? If you cling too much to words, if you cling too much to interpretations, then you're stuck with one of the hindrances, yeah? Clinging to views and opinions. Even if your view and opinion is quite right, it is never in line with the Dhamma. Because the Dhamma cannot be really described in words. The Dhamma is. It is the truth, you know, I mean. And what we use is a language, you know, that is black or white, yeah. It is greed or, you know, greed or hate, yeah. Delusion or things like that. It is either this or that. Words are either this or that. And Dhamma is neither this nor that. Yeah? Just like the Lord Buddha said, you know, when he goes in Paranibbana, neither am I nor am I not. I mean, who can understand that? Huh? How is it possible to understand that profound teaching? Neither am I nor am I not. Yeah? What does he mean? Yeah? And a lot of things, you know, I mean, it was the same thing with Thanachara Mahabodha's teaching, yeah. I mean, sometimes I just had to skip, you know, I said, I don't understand that, yeah. And maybe 7 years later, you know, after I practiced very hard, you know, I mean, that's what he means with this. Yeah? But of course, you know, I could form an idea or an opinion about it, but that would have distracted me from realizing the truth. So please, you know, and please advise you, you know, take words, you know, not as the truth. Take it as hints, yeah? Take it as pointers that can point to the truth. Just like, you know, programming language is never the truth, you know, I mean, the values are not in the symbols, you know, that we use for programming. They are stored somewhere, you know, where the pointer of that symbol points to. And that value can change over time.
And so is it with the Dhamma. Yeah? It cannot be fixed. Yeah? Of course the Dhamma of the words will be fixed, you know, and that might be a problem. Yeah? But the path that leads to the freedom, yeah, I mean that is clear. Yeah? It is a path, yeah, that we should go. Yeah? And as long as we take it as path, as we take it as science, this goes to Bangkok, this goes to whatever it is, yeah. I mean Laos, Vientiane, or what is it in Sri Lanka? What, Kandy or whatever, yeah. Then we follow the sign, and then we reach Kandy if you still follow the sign. Yeah? And that is something, you know, that is really important for us, yeah? Because our views and opinions of our understanding of the Dhamma, as close as it might come to the truth, is to be strong, can still be wrong, and can be a hindrance to actually attaining to the truth. The truth is in the heart, yeah? And I'm confident that, you know, my teaching is always in line with the teaching of the Lord Buddha, yeah? I'm really confident, from my heart I know it is, yeah? But, you know, I mean, I have to use words, you know, and I cannot describe one situation in one go, yeah? And you notice from my talks, you know, sometimes I talk about this aspect, sometimes I talk about that aspect, yeah? Because our language is limited, yeah? I would love to, and maybe I don't have that skill, yeah? Maybe I don't have that skill to go into these kind of depths, you know, of explaining something. So, people always will take offense, you know, of what I'm saying. But that's okay with me. So, I mean, for you, and why I say it, you know, please realize, you know, I mean, words are words, you know. Listen with your heart and you will understand. I mean, that's also, you know, that is Lungpuman's teaching, Lungta Mahabua's teaching, listen to the heart, you know. And then you will understand. Because the heart has a bigger capacity of understanding Dhamma than our brain. Than what we think, you know, with the words, what they mean, what we interpret them to mean. Yeah? Don't forget, you know, our interpretation of the words, our meaning of the words, are not the same for everyone. Yeah? I mean, just think about it, you know, about all the arguments you had, yeah? Especially if you had a girlfriend, you know, you argue about words, you know, because everybody, you know, thinks of something else, yeah? And sees it, you know, sees it to be differently, yeah? And most arguments are brought up from that, yeah? So, I mean, when you listen, yeah? No matter if you listen to Lungta Mahabua's talks, it doesn't really matter if you understand the language or not. Or, if you listen to my talks, you know, listen with the heart. Don't try to understand what I'm saying, because that's where you go wrong, yeah? And don't interpret me, yeah? And don't tell others, you know, that's what Ajahn Martin says, yeah? That's where you go wrong, yeah? You can say, you know, that is my interpretation of what Ajahn Martin said. Yeah? Understand what I'm talking about? Huh? Listen with your heart and you will have no trouble. And you will know if something is wrong and you know if something is right. Yeah? I mean, that's what I use, you know, when I listen to my teacher. I knew, I mean, when he was right, you know, I agreed, my heart agreed on it, you know, and when he was wrong, yeah. My heart didn't agree on it. And when I was with Lungta Mahabua, I mean, I couldn't find any fault. I couldn't find any disagreement with whatever he said. And also, you know, I mean, it also, we have to remember, I mean, I use that sometimes, yeah. I mean, if somebody has practiced the path, you know, I mean, he's just like walking up the hill, yeah. Or a mountain, you know, he's climbing a mountain. And the higher he is, the more he sees, the more he understands. Yeah? I mean, if we are at the foot of the mountain, I mean, what do we see? Yeah? Huh?
I mean, we can read the instructions of how to climb that mountain, and we can read also the things, you know, that you can see on this level or on that level or on that level, but that doesn't mean that we see it. We don't have first-hand experience. Yeah? And that can be really, yeah, a problem for us, especially when we are educated, when we are highly educated. And why Lunga Mahabho often referred to doctors as dogs. Yeah? They are very clever within the world, yeah? But they are so stupid in the ways of Dhamma. He often said that. Yeah? I mean, the cleverer we are in the ways of the world, the more stupid we get into the ways of Dhamma. Yeah? Because we have too many belief systems that are not... Huh? That are not apparent to us. Yeah? Just like when I came here to Thailand. I told you before, yeah? When I came here to Thailand, yeah, I mean, I had certain views about Dhamma, about the teaching, yeah? And what is it, you know, what is this like, what is that like, what an arahant is like, and things like that. And I mean, it took Lungda Mahapo about 2 years, you know, to get rid of all these not obvious, for me, not obvious, yeah? Belief. Yeah. Each time, you know, I mean, I was thinking a wrong thought, you know, I said, oh, some people think like this, you know, and, yeah? Stupid. It's wrong. And I said, thank you. Just got rid of one of my wrong views or one of my wrong opinions, yeah? So, I mean, it is helpful. The Dhamma is helpful, as I said, you know. I mean, the Dhamma, or the teaching of the Lord Buddha, or what is in the scriptures, I mean, of course, if the Lord Buddha were here, yeah, I mean, there wouldn't be any need, to refer to the scriptures, yeah. But all what we have left of the Lord Buddha, and all what we have left of Lungda Mahabho are his books, yeah. So, I mean, be careful with it, yeah. And don't underestimate your views and opinions that you have when you read something, yeah? Or when you interpret something, you don't know it because you're so used to it, yeah? We are educated in this way, yeah? So whatever we read, we interpret it, you know, and we make it, you know, conform with our other views and opinions without even being able to know that because we don't have that kind of sati, yeah? To be able to see it. So listen to the heart. I mean, that's what I really advise you. You know, I mean, no matter what you practice, you know, I mean, the heart always knows, huh, if something is right or if something is wrong. And when the moment thoughts come up, you know, this is like this, this is like that, then you know these thoughts are coming up from the kilesa. It's not the Dhamma never comes up in thoughts. Remember this? The Dhamma never comes up in thoughts or ideas. They come all from the kilesa. The Dhamma is knowingness. It knows. Yeah? And that's how it can relieve us of the fetters. It just knows. Yeah? It has a deeper level, you know, I mean, all this knowingness, you know, I mean, all the Lord Buddha, all the Buddhas, you know, I mean, are within this knowingness. Yeah? They're still, you know, they're not alive, but, you know, they are still exist in this knowingness. And this knowingness is great, is vast, it knows. Yeah? And that is the truth. And how can you describe this truth? It's impossible in words, yeah? In words that only know one meaning, yeah? Only know opposites. So it is important, you know, it is important for a teacher, and I try my best, you know, I'm not perfect, yeah? No. And, as I said, you know, I'm quite sloppy with words, yeah? But I know, you know, but I know what I'm talking about, you know, and I can lead you the path, yeah? And that's... But you have to listen with your heart. That was the first, one of the first things, you know, I mean, my first teacher taught me, yeah? Listen with the heart. Yeah? And it didn't differentiate from Lungda Mahabho. Yeah?
I mean, of course, in other ways, you know, he was not on this level. So, I mean, in other questions, you know, it just didn't feel right. Yeah, I couldn't argue with him. It just didn't feel right. I said, okay, that's what you think, you know. I mean, my heart just tells me you can't do that in this world. And that's why I look for the next one, until I find Lunga Mahabodh. And there are all the questions, you know, cease to exist. I never ask any questions anymore. But we are so trained, you know, for intellectual, you know, discussions, you know, or conversations, or arguments. What is now?
I heard a sound, and there is a recording mode.
It's not recording anymore because you just pressed off recording.
Sorry, no.
You have to press the record button. Yeah. When you press the record button, again it stops. Doesn't matter if you hear sound, okay? If you see, if you don't see the red light. Yeah?
There is this icon of...
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
If it's the icon of the picture, then you have changed the mode. Oh.
No, that's right. Can I show to Kuba Martin? Just one minute.
If it's the icon of the picture, then you have changed the mode, because you can't record in pictures.
Maybe, did you press the power bank on? Yes, it's on and here it's video, but when I press this, where is this coming? It's okay. Too hot. Camera very hot.
Yeah, it can be. Anyway, so. You understand? Yeah? Listen with your heart and you will understand. I mean, no matter if it is my teaching or if it is Lunga Mahabodh's teaching. Okay, so that's all what I wanted to say. Yeah. You okay with that, Shula? Yeah? You need to ask for forgiveness, huh?
Misopinion,
really
questions, or talk too much about your teaching.
Yes, I know it is a tendency to like to talk about it, you know, but you know, restrain yourself. Yeah?
I could see.
Because, I mean, we talked about that so often. I mean, you hear three words, you know, and then you don't listen to the rest of the sentence and you assume anything, yeah? And I mean, of course, that goes also in the conversation. Ah, yeah, that's what I assumed that he was talking about.
I know, it's my fault.
It doesn't matter. I mean, we are not talking about whose fault it is, yeah? I mean, it is our nature. I was specifically, you know, I mean, you gave me the idea. It was specifically, you know, for addressing this issue that I haven't addressed for a long, long time, yeah? About, you know, the symbols, you know, we use symbols, you know, to communicate, yeah? And that's where all these problems are created, because of different interpretations of the same symbols by different people.
No, I'm the one who asks questions.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure that you ask questions, and he's ready. He's very eager to answer these questions. instead of him saying, "I don't know." I mean, that is one thing, you know. I remember when I first started practicing. The first 7 years, you know, I mean, of my monkhood, and before that, when somebody asked me, I told him, "I don't know." Because they didn't know. How can I tell somebody, you know, if I don't know? Yeah? Yeah, what did I do? What is this? What is that? I don't know. Yeah? I just said, you know, I mean, because I was confident that I don't know. Yeah? And is that so difficult? To accept that I don't know?
Must be, but I can try.
Yeah? If you're not sure about something, just say, I don't know. Or say, I'm not sure. So the other person gets a message, you know, and doesn't take the things as granted. Yeah. But anyway, you really have to excuse me, yeah, by being so sloppy with words. Yeah. I know. I mean, any kind of scholar will be offended by my use of words, you know, but. Sometimes it's also a good provocation, yeah? For people to think a little bit outside of the box, yeah? And I like sometimes to make provocations, or to provocate somebody, yeah? To provocate somebody, yeah? To think outside the box, yeah? Because we're so used to think inside the box, yeah? No matter if it is Christianity, it's thinking inside the box, no matter if it is Dhamma, yeah? I mean, yes, there's Theravadan Dhamma, or there's Sri Lankan Dhamma, there's Thai Dhamma, but even within Thailand, there are three different sects, yeah? So there's a different interpretation of Dhamma at every level, yeah? So what is the truth? The truth is in the heart, yeah? Go to get to the truth and you know, yeah? Just like I mentioned the simile of a lot of people, you know, all these scholars sitting around the fire and discussing what the fire is. Yeah? And some people say it's hot, some people say it's cold, some people say it's warm, some people say it's burned, some other people say it doesn't burn, you know? But nobody, you know, nobody wants to grab in the fire because everybody's afraid that, you know, I mean, he hurts himself, yeah? But they still have opinions about the fire. So then somebody else comes in, you know, hears all this discussion about what the fire is, he puts his hand in the fire and he turns back, you know, he just walks away from these scholars. He doesn't try to convince them because he knows the truth. And he knows they will never know. Because they will never ever practice the path. And that is the only way how you know. Practicing the path. Yeah? The path of the Lord Buddha. And as I mentioned sometimes, you know, I mean, even when Lungta describes something, you know, that is happening at a certain stage, he describes it from behind the gate. He doesn't describe the path towards the gate. He describes, you know, when he sees, looks back. You know, because that's the only way how we can see it. When he looks back, then he describes, that's how it is, yeah. So when we come close to this gate, you know, we still don't know what is behind that gate, yeah. How it is really when we attain to this stage of, you know, stage of Arya or to this stage of insight, yeah? We don't know. So we should keep it this way, yeah? Anybody of us, you know, will fall for these things, yeah? Because, I mean, we like to assume, we like to interpret, we like to understand, yeah? But this kind of understanding, how we want to understand, is the understanding of avijja. Yeah, it's also a very, very strange definition of avijja that I normally give, yes? Wanting to understand but not being able to understand. Wanting to know but not being able to know, in line with truth. Yeah? Of course we can understand or we can know, but it's not in line with the truth. Yeah? Not in line with the Dhamma. Once we see it, we know it. But that doesn't mean that we are able to express it. Because it's beyond, it's something, it's a reality that doesn't exist in our language. All what we can do is, you know, just like Lungta Mahabodh said, well, how can I teach anybody about this truth, yeah, that I just experienced, yeah? And then the second question he asked, am I a deva, you know, am I a heavenly being, you know, just falling from heaven, you know, and got this, you know? I mean, I must have walked a path, yeah? And then he said, okay, this path I can teach that leads to this truth. I cannot teach about the truth itself because people will not understand it, will not be able to grasp. And just like I said in one of these talks, you know, I mean, when Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha become one and the same thing, you know, I mean, that completely blew his mind. How can that be? Yeah? From the scholar point of view, you know, the Buddha is the Buddha, the Dhamma is the Dhamma, and the Sangha is the Sangha. How can they be one and the same thing? Huh? That blew his mind, you know, and so, yeah? And he said, it's impossible. But of course it is, you know, he said at the same time, you know, it is impossible from my point of understanding, intellectual understanding, it is impossible, but it is. How can that be? See. Okay. With this I stop. You know, if you have questions then you can ask. Understood? Tula. And Alex. Go to the path and there's no problem. Yeah? I mean, we have enough hindrances, so we shouldn't produce more hindrances on this path. Yeah? Wrong understanding is one of, you know, I mean, can be a really big hindrance. Yeah? <You're> smart. Okay, anything more? No? So, put a little bit more effort in your practice, huh? Not sleeping. Huh? And don't become robots. Huh? Upatthakin is the training of, you know, of developing sati. No? It's not just making tasks, you know, doing this, doing that, you know. Because then we tend to forget. I mean, we are forgetful, you know. That is the problem of our human mind. Yeah? We think about something and we forget what we are doing at that moment. Yeah? If we have sati, we cannot forget. We just look and we see. But the problem is, you know, our heart is always occupied with thoughts about this, you know, this I have to do, then I want to do this, yeah? After this, what I'm going to do, you know, let's have a coffee, you know, or let's have a cigarette and whatever, yeah? And then, you know, I mean, then sati is lost, yeah? And then that's why upatthakin is really, it's really a training of sati, you know? And people tend, you know, to have sati the first few weeks, yeah? Or the first few months. And then they get into the rhythm of knowing, and then while their hands are working, you know, I mean, their mind is somewhere else. No? You notice that? Huh? Yeah? Yeah? You notice that? And that's why the mistakes happen. I mean, there's one interesting thing, you know, when Lungta said, you know, I mean, if you have sati, you don't make mistakes. We only make mistakes the moment we start to think, yeah? We plan, yeah? That's when we make mistakes, yeah? It doesn't necessarily mean that we always make mistakes when we plan, but most of the time. But when we have sati, we don't make mistakes. That's important. Okay? So. Yeah, I mean, yes, it cools down, you know, and then it starts recording again.
Yeah, perhaps.
That's why I mostly let it record in 180p, 1080p. Then it doesn't get too, you know, these cameras. Sony is very well known for the cameras to get overheated.
With the power bank this evening.
You didn't use the power.
Yeah, we have to use the power bank.
If you use the power bank and if you don't use the battery, then the battery inside doesn't get hot and then it doesn't overheat.
Yeah, we use the power bank. It gets hot with power bank. Because it charges the battery, I think, or I don't know. But power bank is definitely cool.
I mean, I tried it out, but anyway. So. It doesn't matter. Questions? How are you? Are you here? Yes? Yeah. Yeah? Physically or mentally?
So, because this morning I said you means me.
Yeah?
Is that the same thing?
No?
It's not the same
no. issue, right? I told you to listen with your heart. Yeah? Then you would instantly understand, you know, that's not the issue.
Right, okay.
Yeah?
Because
I wasn't talking about you and me, I was talking about Dhamma, the interpretation of Dhamma. train it, you know, I mean, listen and don't try to understand. That's where you go wrong. Listen until the words pop up in your heart. And then you know that the heart gets the meaning of it. Yeah? If you block your heart with thoughts about, you know, what he said, what he means, what he tries to tell me, then you don't get anything. I mean, it's a waste of time to listen to a talk like that.
I was thinking of, oh no.
Yeah? And then he was thinking what he was doing wrong. And then, you know, I mean, in the whole talk, you know, I mean, going.
You must have a very uncomfortable talk.
Huh?
Well, yeah. Rich, you must have a very uncomfortable talk. Yeah. If you were thinking.
Yeah? Yeah, of course it is very uncomfortable.
But I can listen again.
Yeah. It wasn't very comfortable for Chula as well.
Yeah.
The talk.
It was fun.
Huh? Okay.
The same thing happened to me, I think, more than nearly 3 years in Sri Lanka. My teacher always says, don't listen to the words.
He must be a good teacher.
Yeah, that's why I am here, otherwise I will never be here. And then I understand, even though he says some wrong words within the Dhamma talk,
mm-hmm.
then my heart understood but what it really means.
Yeah.
Then I thought,
because the intention, you know, when he talks really Dhamma, then what we get, the intention never lies. Yeah? The intention never lies.
He told always us, don't listen to these words because this is not the true Dhamma I am explaining.
It's just the same as, yeah, I mean. Yeah, yeah.
Today I find my teacher is like here.
No, that's a good teacher. Yeah. Okay, so. Oh, poor. What kind of scolding is that?